Not is to call the city council work session for Tuesday, January 21st, 12 p.m., conference room A together. together, yes, we are together. Kumbaya. Order. Peggy, do you want to?
Salins?
Here.
Allen?
Here.
Beamer?
Here.
Swanson?
Here.
Busby?
Here.
Sawyer?
Here.
And Romaine?
Here. I would like to take up an additional work session item that's not listed on the agenda. It's short and sweet. Laura is not going to be able to attend tonight. And Mark, are you?
I was planning on not being there tonight.
Okay, that's
still at least with the quorum, though.
Right.
There's no football.
Don't tell anybody we have a date.
I knew it. Okay, do I hear a motion to excuse?
I make a motion that it be excused.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Hearing none opposed, motion passes.
Thank you.
Next is the discussion of the withdrawal of the Seal Rock Water District in South Beach. Spencer?
Sure. I'm going to turn it right over to Derek to give the overview on this issue and for discussion at the water.
Derek. Fantastic. Thanks. We have Adam Denlinger with the Seal Rock Water District this year. Tim Gross may want to chime in on this as well. As you probably gathered from your packet materials, the issue was brought to our attention by property owners in the affected area, namely Barney Serkin with the Land Waves. And it tracks back to a 2007 urban service area agreement that the city and Seal Rock Water negotiated, where the service boundary would be moved further to the south of the airport, namely. And I depicted that on a map in here in blue that was in your packet. You may want to take a look at that map for purposes of the discussion. I think it's very helpful. But what was going on at the time was the community college was about to be built. Wilder plan development was about to be annexed along with the GBR property, which is an industrial site. That was about 102-acre annexation. And Seal Rock and the city got into discussions there and mutually agreed that the city was in a better position to provide services to that kind of development. So Seal Rock was amenable to moving that service boundary to the south. However, you know, they had debt issues out there that needed to be dealt with. So when that annexation went through, the findings in that annexation said, well, we're not going to deal with a withdrawal for the Wilder property at this point because there's this ongoing negotiation on this IGA, this Urban Service Area Agreement. This Urban Service Area Agreement was ultimately adopted later in 2007. However, that agreement only dealt with the revenue bond debt that the Seal Rock District had incurred as of that time. It did not deal with the general obligation bond debt that Seal Rock had as of that date. The agreement then went on to note that property taxes, which is what pays down that general obligation bond debt, would still continue to apply to the affected properties, while Seal Rock would not object to a withdrawal. I think everybody, presumably at that time, certainly Seal Rock expected that withdrawal would happen shortly thereafter, because when they did their master plan update in 2010, they didn't even include these properties in their master plan. The issue which would brought this to a fore is that Seal Rock was then successful in securing, I believe it was a $15 million general obligation bond measure in 2011, and they've been implementing that in phases. So now there's a 2011 bond that's being paid down, and there's a 2012. And that, as you might imagine, increased property taxes in the affected properties, which are depicted on this map. Those that are taxable, which are in yellow, started to notice that on their tax bills, and that's why Bonnie contacted us saying, hey, look, you know, we're, you know, why are we paying property taxes to Seal Rock, paying property taxes to the city, and then paying water rates to the city? We're not getting any benefit from Seal Rock, so why are we continuing to have to pay this? Is there anything you can do to kind of look into this issue? And so that's what led to us doing some of this research. We looked into the different processes involved for initiating a withdrawal. There are a couple different paths, and I'll touch on those. And we've met with the district to kind of map out what we believe is a reasonable approach. On the statutory side, there's two methods of initiating a withdrawal. And there is a process that is property owner initiated, and that's under ORS 198, and then there is a process that is city initiated, and that's under ORS 222. The city can only initiate a withdrawal for properties that are within its corporate limits. Property owners can initiate through a petition process whether or not the property is inside the city limits or not. So that is a difference there. As you can see, you know, you have, and I didn't put the acreages on here, but your total acreage involved here is somewhere around a little over 2,000 acres. About 1,500 of it is in the city. Of that, though, only a little over 300 is taxable, because as you can see, the airport and the South Beach State Park take up a big chunk of that acreage. The non-taxable pieces, obviously, being in red and this map. We met with Seal Rock, and the process that we would suggest at this point is to move forward with amendments to the Urban Service Area Agreement. There would be two amendments that we would propose to make. One is that for whatever reason, the map exhibit that was to go along with the 2007 agreement does not exist. It's an Exhibit A referenced in the text of the document, but neither the city nor Seal Rock actually have the Exhibit A. The legal description that Seal Rock was able to provide us, which may very well have come from the city, that was their understanding, does not describe the entire area that we're serving. And so we do need to, in our view, amend the Urban Service Area agreement to make it very clear what that new service boundary is. There is not a disagreement, to my understanding, between Seal Rock and City, at least at the staff level, as to where that line should be. It's just we should have that in an official document as to where that service boundary is. And again, that's what I've shown in blue on this map here.
Yours is black
and white.
I'll pass this along.
Is the council packet online black and white too?
No, it's color.
No, it's color.
Where's the blue? And
I think I have it.
Okay, so the one on the line we can look at.
That's the new boundary. Properties north of the blue line have been served by the city of Newport since January 1st of 2008.
So that would be the line.
There. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, you can see it kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, I got it. Yep. Okay.
That's the dotted line.
Dotted line. Yeah. Okay.
That's it. That's the blue line.
Okay.
The other amendment to the Urban Service Area Agreement would outline how the general obligation bond debt would be addressed in the event that the withdrawal process is initiated. And we agreed with, you know, Seal Rock is looking for and the debt, general obligation bond debt, that was in effect prior to the service transfer. And I included the debt schedule there. So there was a 2004 general obligation bond. That debt would have to be dealt with by the property owners and or the city, and I'll get into that because it would be a combination of them both. But the 2011 and 2012 bond issues would be dealt by the balance of their taxpayers, since none of the properties in the affected area benefited from any of the improvements financed by those bonds. Whereas with the 2004 general obligation bond, these properties had benefited from those improvements before the service transfer, that being the difference there. The way that's handled, and Seal Rock is working with the county assessor's office to come up with a number, a specific number for what that will be. And that number will be a known commodity before any amendment would be brought before the council for action. So you would know exactly what we're talking about dollar-wise. I would prefer not to try to speculate right now because it's a very difficult thing for me to gauge at, and I may throw out a number that's too low or too high. But we will be working with Seal Rock and the county assessor to get that pegged for you. But essentially, the way if that urban service area amendment, those amendments are made, then the processes for withdrawal would follow separately after the urban service area amendments are made. And for areas that are within the city limits, the city can initiate that withdrawal process unilaterally. And that's probably the most straightforward approach. And it's typically done at time of annexation,
right?
Theoretically, to avoid circumstances just like this.
Yeah, and you're talking about the missing. See, I was on chair of the college board at mm-hmm. that time, so was in that negotiation between Seal Rock, probably before you, Patrick O'Connor. So.
Yeah,
and I thought that was all taken care of. We mm-hmm. at the college did, and the missing document is. Kind of interesting.
Yeah. Outside the city limits, the process would be property owner initiated. But I think there's a would be well advised, and we can serve a role here in terms of coordinating that petition so that it's a single consolidated petition from as many of those property owners as are willing, and it's to their advantage.
Oh, yeah.
So that one petition is filed with the Board of Commissioners as opposed to various ones from different property owners.
So how many?
I can get you guys that number.
Okay.
I didn't have the number of tax lots handy.
So would we be coordinating with the Board of Commissioners on that to any extent?
Yeah, we would be in terms of how that... And when that's brought forward to the board,
okay.
You bet.
Okay.
We'd want to give them as much lead time as well.
Okay.
And, I would envision, that in itself, I mean, a city initiated, in terms of bringing forward the amendments to the urban service area agreement, I would expect that's something that would be before you within the next month. For your consideration. This is something that the water district wants to get hammered out ASAP because it has budget implications to them as it has budget implications to the city.
Oh, yeah.
Because the city would be responsible for the proportionate share of the 2004 general obligation bond debt for properties that are inside its city limits. The property owners would put, outside the city limits, that falls to either the district or the property owners. But inside the city limits, it falls to the city of Newport.
So how would we work? I guess my question would be, right now, there's properties that are annexed by the city, but are still paying the district GO because they're still in the district. So if we withdraw those properties from the district, which relieves... That's my question. What kind of that relieves that obligation to the district from them, or is that something the city has to work out with those property owners as far as who's going to pay the district? Because if the property owners aren't paying that share, isn't it going to be coming out of the city budget or city revenue separate from the property tax?
That's my question, too.
If withdrawn from the city, the proportional share of the 2004 general obligation bond debt.
Which is currently being paid by property owners.
Right.
Which is currently being
right.
paid by property
right.
owners. Well, which, along with the 2011 and 2012, it's all lumped together.
No, I'm just talking right. about the two. I'm just talking
no,
about.
No, I hear you.
Okay, so they're now, right now, the only thing we're paying Seal Rock, according to the documents I read, is $5,000 a month because of the loss of rates that they're receiving.
Right.
And I also understand that there might be some issues there as far as are we actually getting the dollar value from the rate payers that we're paying over to Seal Rock. I mean, there might be some equity issues there. Are we paying them more than we should be because we're not getting as much from the folks that are paying us? That's a separate issue. The second issue is, if we withdraw the property from the district, which is an obligation, is it going to be the city's budget that's going to be on the hook to pay that obligation,
right?
Whereas in the past, it's been the property owners.
My understanding is that, you know, and it would be nice if it was permissible statutorily to just put in like a legacy tax code, and those property owners would be responsible for paying down the residual amount of 2004 debt. However, it's my understanding that that's not an option, and so what it is, the options that are on the table, well, let me put it this way. With that number, we would bring forward options for how it would be dealt with, because we do have some options available to us. For example, we could potentially, for just that affected area, adjust their water rates accordingly to recover that over time, and then set up a payment schedule with the district. So we can. There are some avenues available to us. Once we have a number for what that is, the proportional share of the 2004 debt is, then I think, you know, we're in a better position to say what options.
Right, but wouldn't those property owners have an issue? I mean, Landways is a very large company,
right?
Well represented by attorneys. Mm-hmm. So I guess my question is, if we were to try and work out an arrangement with them, would they have a legal standing to object to that arrangement and not allow us to actually move forward on that kind of rate adjustment?
You know, I'm not sure.
Because what I'm getting at is, it sounds like you're asking us to withdraw property from the district because of the equities to the property owners. Mm-hmm. But by doing that, we might be incurring an additional obligation on the city budget with uncertainty as to whether we're going to recoup any of that additional obligation from the property owners that are currently paying that obligation, or we might be on the hook through the general fund or through other funds. Is that correct?
May I interject for a second? We actually had a separate rate for the Seal Rock Water District properties last year. And when we did our rate adjustments, we basically absorbed them into the city rate structure because it was such an insignificant difference in terms of how much revenue they generated. It wasn't worth the extra work on the city staff part to try and implement a separate rate structure. So we had already had that separate rate structure for these properties. And so there's a precedence for doing that.
I guess you have to look. You have to look at if it's going to cost us, say, $1 million. Can we recoup that $1 million from the property owners, or is it going to be on the taxpayers? And how do we get that $1 million back?
Either on the city's budget or absorbed by the other taxpayers. I don't know. Is that another option?
Well, I don't think absorbed by the balance of the city. I guess my point here is that We're mapping out a process to answer those questions and making sure that you have that information before you have to make a decision. The first piece is to move forward with working with the district on amending urban service area agreements so that we know what the dollar figure is for that 2004 general obligation bond debt, and that's the piece that the city would be responsible for, at least within the areas that it's already annexed within this boundary. And then with that number, we'll be able to bring forward these are some different options for how we deal with it.
To get
it paid back. And some of those options could very well land on the property owners that benefited. But we can't do it as a tax. That's all I'm saying. I know that much at this point. It wouldn't be rolled into the city's general property tax, which would be spread across all the property owners, nor can it be done as a property tax for the specific area.
Because I guess the owners down there would have to look at, currently they're paying whatever it is per month on the current system, and then if they had to pay back part of the bonds in increased water payments to the city to pay that 2004-2005 bond, if that's going to be higher, then they probably wouldn't want to move forward, but if it's lower, they probably would. But I would like to see it that there is no payment amongst the taxpayers in Newport currently, if that makes sense.
So,
if that could happen.
So, I don't disagree with all the concerns that are being brought up, but I'm kind of reversing the whole thing.
to me, on the surface of it, it seems like a real mess that should have been cleaned up before.
Yep.
And I don't know that, I mean, we, you know.
2008.
Working through this process of the various options that we have and the best way to go seems like the most responsible step to make in terms of, you know, it's going to be difficult to do, but what happens if we just ignore them? 10 years from now, we still don't have the document. We still have the problems.
Well, it's difficult to make a decision until we know what that dollar value is. Because right. We're talking about $10,000 or we're talking about $1 million, mm-hmm. the decisions that are going to be made are significantly different.
So at least we agree that we should move forward in finding out what that is.
Or the council 10 years ago be saying, why didn't those people?
So
straight this goddamn mess out.
But the first piece is we need to have the county assessor say what.
And that's being worked on, and then that would be rolled into some draft amendments to the urban service area agreement, which would memorialize that, which would then be brought forward to the council for action. So that would be your first action step. And say in the next 4 weeks you would see draft amendments to the urban service area agreement, which spell out, you know, what that debt obligation is, and then as we've been discussing, what some different options are for how it can be addressed, should you then follow that with the next step of actually initiating the withdrawal.
Derek, is that $5,000 a month payment to cover city properties, or is that for some other reason?
The $5,000 a month, which is actually paying down a $1.8 million figure, as I understand it from the 2007 negotiations, was intended to compensate the district for loss of existing and future revenue from ratepayers. And was the proportional share of the revenue bond debt that they had outstanding, which was only a portion of their outstanding debt.
Right.
So, Derek, I wasn't disputing this agreement and the two amendments. Mm-hmm. That wasn't my point.
Yeah.
It sounds like this agreement and the amendments is going to adjust what the current property owners are actually paying Seal Rock, correct? Those that are affected by the 2004 bond measure, but not by the 2011.
No, the urban service area amendment will not make any changes.
Okay.
The changes would only happen at the time the withdrawals occur, which would be in step two.
So the only change will be designate the map. That was never included in Exhibit
Correct.
A.
Correct.
Right.
And the second amendment will be?
And how the general obligation bond debt would be handled in the event the properties are withdrawn.
That got to my point. So that amendment will say that in the event the property is withdrawn, at that point there would be an agreement that only the 2004 GO bond would be applicable.
Correct, and that the 2011 right. and 2012 would be shifted to the balance of the district's taxpayers.
And the amendment will only say in the event. It's not obligating the city
Correct.
To withdraw the property. It's
yes.
just saying... Yeah. If the city chose to withdraw the property, then
The district and the city agree that this is how the debt would be allocated.
So until we withdraw the property owners are going to still be on the hook
Correct.
For everything.
Correct.
We're just laying out the process if we withdraw the property.
Right.
So that will be, okay, so discrete decisions. The only decision we really have to make within a month is Exhibit A map, let's get a map in place.
Correct.
And let's agree with Seal Rock Water District that if we chose to withdraw through whatever process we choose, whether it's property owner initiated or city initiated, Seal Rock would then commit to saying those properties would only be obligated, or the city would only be obligated for that 2004 debt.
Correct.
And even then, it wouldn't really define how the city would handle the 2004
Well, that gets to my next
right.
question is, so... I guess the questions I had can wait for the time in which we have to decide whether to withdraw the property or not.
That's fair.
Because I'm trying to connect. We've
right.
got. You're,
right.
We're not. We're doing this with anticipation. We might be doing the next step.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
So, but I'm asking questions that are relevant, but they're only going to probably be relevant at the point in which that separate decision is going to be made, and we don't have to worry about that today. And you'll have more information for us to maybe be better informed.
Exactly.
On
the decision. And I think
yeah.
we'll have more information actually at the time. Of this first step of approving
okay.
that.
Yes, we will have
okay.
more
yeah, so it should be a clearer situation.
So I'll keep my questions on hold until that
right.
further information
right.
comes forward. Okay, that's fair enough.
Is that about it? Or are you
that's about it. And then the next, and then as I said, the after the urban service area agreement amendments are brought forward, the withdrawals would be a separate step.
Okay.
And the processes are different depending right. upon whether or not it's ORS 198 or
right.
ORS 222 or a combination of the above.
Or we could choose not to withdraw
or
as a city, and then it would be up to the property owners to try and make that process move forward.
Yes.
That is an option as well.
Okay.
Right.
That's fair enough.
That is.
Are there any comments from the district represented here?
Are you listening? Come back and listen some more.
No, first of all, I just want to say that the district is yes, very appreciative of the opportunity to work with Derek and city staff to resolve this issue. I would also like to bring to your attention for your consideration with regard to the map and the yellow areas, especially the areas that are closer to 98th Street. This will be south a little bit of the blue line.
Yeah.
When those properties are annexed in, they will be quite a distance away from the city's water service, the ability to provide them with water. They'll be closer to the district's ability to provide them water. I think it's important in the notification process that those property owners understand that if they are annexed and they do come to the district for the potential to be able to provide them with water, which we could, and we do have property owners in that area that are now looking into whether or not we can provide them with water, they will have to pay an outside the district rate. And I think they should be aware of that before, or that should be disclosed to those property owners so that they understand that if they are annexed, they will be outside the district. And so to provide them with water, they'll pay twice as much as those inside the district would end up paying.
That's a good point. Thank you.
I am working with the assessor with regard to those properties inside the city limits that are affected in the district area. We do have some numbers that we're evaluating now. I hope to, before the end of the week, get that information to city staff.
Great. Thank you.
I guess my question is, the properties you were talking about, Adam, aren't the properties we're talking about right now with respect to the withdrawal, are they, Derek, or are they the same properties? Or
it's a little corn on there.
I guess I'm wondering about is...
That's what he's talking about.
These down here would be with on our side of the service boundary line, but I think what he's talking about is they may not want to
right.
pull out because ultimately they may be served by Seal Rock, at least for the immediate future.
Right. Until we can provide them.
Until we could provide them.
Right. Okay.
Service.
Now that makes sense. Right. Okay. Now I got it. Okay.
Yeah, it's the I district see. Just recently completed okay. the 98th Street extension
right.
of our system.
I see.
And it borders that
so
area.
Water.
Some folks in that area are requesting service now. We're working with them to try to provide that service. If these folks are annexed,
right.
they'll pay out of the
and we'd have to inform them that if we do annex them, what's the city situation in eventually
right.
providing them the water service that we're going to be obligated to provide? And what's that interim period will then be double the rate to you as far as what they do to you, right? Okay. So
we probably don't have,
we have
plans
to
put water down in that area currently, but we would in the future, but it might be several years.
Adam has a good point about adequately informing them on
that. Right. Yeah.
That's
a valid
point. Yeah, but... That's valid information for them to be aware of.
Put in the century,
though. Not going to commit to that, honestly.
If we decide to withdraw.
Thank you. Thank you for coming, and thank you.
Yeah. Interesting issue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Next, I believe we have the city room tax on the room tax funds with you, Bob Casewick. I'll have you come up here.
I've given two oral reports, so this
this is
now,
the third one.
This is a written report,
oh, okay.
And so hopefully this will wrap things up. The issue here is the $1 million that has been carried,
yes.
an amount in excess of that been carried for many years in the contingency account. And going back to the 2012-13 budget, the contingency was slightly over $1 million. And so that figure going into the year would have been an approximate amount. And so the council, with the understanding there was $1 million available, and this was money that was unspent from back in the event center days when that didn't happen. So the council, of course, made $900,000 worth of grants. Initially, $700,000 were attempted to be budgeted in the 2012-13 fiscal year. And what I've done here, and then out of those grants that were totaling $900,000, there was the $100,000 that was unallocated out of that amount that was being carried in contingency. So the council has been under the impression since that time that this $100,000 has been available to be reallocated at a future time. Now, I have four schedules attached that gives a description of what's been happening in the room tax fund over a period of years. In the first place, I've got attachment A. That's the account detail of the city-funded grants. And that details the expenditures that have been made for the three basic grants that would include the Lincoln County Historical Society. That was an original $200,000. Wow, it was $200 million. We'd all be rolling with it.
They'll be happy to hear that.
Well, talking about a federal deficit, $200,000, and the Oregon Coast Aquarium was $250,000, and the OCC PAC was $250,000, and that totaled to $700,000. The three grants were meant to be expended or begin being expended during the 2012-13 fiscal year. Of that, the Lincoln County Historical Society expended $180,000 with a $20,000 carryover that needed to be budgeted in this fiscal year. The Oregon Coast Aquarium, the $250,000 was completely, and that's attachment A, by the way, was completely expended in the 2012-13 fiscal year. The OCC A PAC essentially was just getting in the process of beginning and ready for their project, which was the acoustic sound system. And they were granted $250,000, and out of that, as of June 30th, they had an unexpended portion of their grant of slightly over $235,000. So between the Lincoln County Historical Society and the OCCA PAC, there was a bit over $255,000 that was unexpended at June 30th that had to be carried forth in the current fiscal year with eligible appropriation. The other two grants coming up to the $900,000 included the Sea Lion Dock and OMSI, and these totaled together $200,000. Those were not budgeted in the 2012-13 fiscal year, but are budgeted in total for obligation in the 2013-14 fiscal year. Now, attachment B that I have is a complete detail of the budget process that we've gone through, starting with the comparison column on the left side next to the detail descriptions that reflects the 2012-13 actual expenditures, where the city at the very bottom began the balance carrying into the year at slightly over $1.1 million and projecting the end of the year actually ended up with $642,624. $610,000 was actually budgeted as estimated beginning of the year. Now, so then I've shown what's happened in terms of the original budget, then the amendment to the budget of August 19th, and I want to point out specifically, because this is important to the discussion later on as we go through, the contingency that was budgeted for 2013-14 was $87,100. Now, right off the bat, you've lost $100,000. Doesn't exist, because the contingency is appropriated at $87,100. When we moved at August 19th, $45,000 out of contingency to the VAC elevator repair, that dropped the contingency down to $42,100. All right, then we come along to December 16th, the budget amendment, where I recasted the revenues, and then we brought in the difference between the budgeted estimate on a beginning balance of $610,000 and the actual beginning balance that was $642,000. That allowed the beefing back up of contingency to the $126,224. So theoretically, the $100,000 is back in the room tax fund in the event that the projection of the that I made on the recasting of room tax revenues for this fiscal year will come in at the level that I projected. I haven't seen anything at this point that would discourage me from telling you at this time that I expect that to happen, that we will meet that. But who knows? We got 6 months of revenues to report yet, and so we can't be absolutely sure that we will hit the projected revenue of $2,435,000. And that's up from what was in the budget at $2,000,003. All right. So attachment C is a reflection of what the audited schedule will look like, and if anyone's following schedules, the attachment C, it'll show the reflection of the contingency at the $1,009,678 figure in the final budget. And that figure actually would have been $700,000 less. That would have meant to have been moved up to material and services. However, that was the resolution that was determined to be illegally done.
Oh, okay.
And so from the city's standpoint and audit purposes, it had to be reverted out of the records, and that $700,000 was moved back into the contingency account.
I see.
That's why it's reflected in the this report at the $1,009,000 plus figure.
Okay.
So then the fourth schedule, attachment D, Merrily begins the year at July 1st, 2012, and shows the revenue by month and the expenditures by month by those categories shown there through the course of the fiscal year. And you'll see at the very bottom, the very top line on the page with the numbers shows the beginning fund balance and how it looks on the course as you progress through the course of the year. And the very bottom line, ending fund balance, then, will show you on a month-to-month basis where that ending fund balance would be. And from the standpoint of the ending fund balance, it's reported then we end the year at the $642,623.75. So far as our records, we just round up to the nearest dollar. The auditor, as I noted in the report, is $1 less in terms of how he's rounded, because he's rounding a few years back, and this rounding factor has caught up now to where we're actually $1 ahead of his schedule.
Wow.
So, well, I just want to point that out. So it's not a clerical mistake if you anybody spots that in the report. Okay. All right. What I've done is attempted to explain this on two previous occasions in a different way in terms of taking the actual fund balance, comparing that to what was budgeted, and arriving at a figure that I've concluded that the $100,000 is never budgeted or was not in there for allocation purposes. So I thought, well, I'll try it a different way of taking the figures and obligating the full $900,000. Now, when you obligate the full $900,000, then that, in essence, changes what your ending fund balance would look like. So it's detailed now and I don't have the numbers, I'm sorry about that, but the page 3 of the report. And I've got two columns that reflects the original adopted budget and then the amended budget at December 16th. Now, the first part of the section reflects what we would be doing on the basis of a cash accrual basis to reflect the ending fund balance of June 30th. And this is what our records reflect, is at $642,624. All right, now in order to get to the full obligation of the $900,000, we have to back out what was spent during that fiscal year, the prior fiscal year, of the grant expenses. And that figure is $444,853. So then we're going to obligate to $900,000, and that brings what that ending fund balance would be on the basis of obligating the full $900,000 down to $187,477. All right, if we were doing it on that basis, that would be the maximum amount that you could carry into the next year, because you're obligating all that. We know the budget basis is different, okay, because we're using closer to actual figures. All right, so using that as our point of reference, and both columns, the June 17th adoption and the December 16th adoption, at that point reflects these same numbers. Okay, so we go down to the 2013-14 budget, and we show that the revenues that were projected was the $2,314,500. less materials and services of $854,900. Now, at this point in time, we haven't moved the $45,000 into material services from contingency to for the vac elevator repair. The next point is I took the transfers out of that $1.5 million plus figure, and then the contingency factor of the $87,100, and then there's a difference between the actual ending balance of $642,000 and the $610,000 that they budgeted in the budget as a beginning balance. So that's what I've said here in terms of the estimated BFB less than actual of $32,624. And I come down to a difference between the budget regarding the appropriation, where it says remaining appropriated amount in capital outlay unaccounted for is $25,853. Okay. Now, if we carry that over to the next column, the difference of this the $25,853 and the $45,852 is a $20,000 figure that we included in the December 16th appropriation to give additional appropriation funding for the Lincoln County Historical Society grant, where they had $20,000 left over, and that figure was in material services. The $45,855 then was freed up in the capital outlay by that $20,000, so that's why that's added there. Now, my conclusion here is that I see absolutely nowhere in terms of the figures that the prior staff people, I mean here the city manager at that time and the finance director at that time, when they presented the figures to you, at when they carried the budget forward in the 2013-14. Made provisions for safeguarding that $100,000 figure. I just don't see it anywhere. Now, you can make a case that this remaining $25,853 plus the contingency of $87,100, if you combine those, you'd have the $100,000. You could make a case for that. But why would you do that if you were budgeting? You would set aside in one place the $400,000. So I don't believe that they did it in the first place.
I agree.
Okay, so what do we do about it? There are probably a couple situations. If we look at the current budget as amended as of December 16th, and assuming that all that revenue comes in, that you do have appropriated right now in the contingency account $126,224, which in essence covers that $100,000. Now, I'm going to deal with that issue because we'll have something coming up later here.
Can I ask you a quick clarification on that? So you're anticipating additional revenue coming in,
right?
And that's going to be added to make that 120.
Yeah, at least today I'm confident that we'll hit that projection.
And that would be then the source we might be looking at for the 100.
That's right.
Question is, when we collect revenue by our own ordinance, 54% can go to general government purposes.
Yeah, right.
So basically, because of the shortfall, we're basically now allocating room tax revenue that could have been used for general government purposes, and we're putting it into this fund because there was a shortfall. We're making basically
what would be general government purposes room tax revenue into tourism-related room tax revenue.
That was pretty heavy there.
No,
no. But, no, I think he's
back. It's a 54. Look, yeah. When we collect revenue, 54% can go to the general fund.
Yeah, right.
For general government purposes.
That's
46%
right.
Goes for tourism-related.
If
we're collecting additional revenue, we're now allocating it solely for tourism-related purposes when we could have taken 54% of it and put it into the general fund. But we're doing it because there's a shortfall right now.
Right.
So that's actually, we're making a policy choice to divert money into tourism-related purposes that we could be using for general fund purposes. That's the that's one of our underlying policy choices here.
Right. And I think the other issue on this matter, and we were trying to pull the records as far as the initial commitment that the City Council made, but our staff meeting went too long, so we finally have that today. But you know, we want to look back to see what the actual commitment that was made by Council was for this $1 million. And if that was a policy decision made previously, that be used for grants, and we can, you know, document the actual action that was taken.
Yeah, we
which
know.
I think
we were on the council several of us at the time.
And then I think the fix will be either as part of the ending of this fiscal year or the year budget year coming forward on July 1st. To address this issue, but that becomes another policy decision that the council would have to make at that time.
And the question I have is, we've had two rounds so far of providing grants.
Right.
You know, the Sea Lion Docks Foundation was, I guess, the most recent one, but moving back, we had some fairly significant ones. So,
for the aquarium.
You know, we have 100,000 left.
Wow.
We could.
Yeah.
The question is, you know, what groups would be coming forward to try and get some of those grants versus if we kept it at a lesser amount, gets back to the policy choice. We're diverting now general fund room tax revenue into room tax fund room tax revenue.
Eligible expenditure.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, so there's a choice.
My take is that we have decided each year to put up a certain amount.
Right.
And I'll say, I think I'm saying the same to you are, only in a different way.
Yeah.
We now have to make a decision because we thought we had $100,000, but
we don't
really.
Right.
Do we divert some money into and make it up to $100,000, or we're making a decision? We made a decision 2 years ago. We made a decision last year. Do we make a decision, or do we just take what's really left budgeted and not make it up?
I don't think that's real complicated. Follow-up to that would be.
Right.
We have a certain amount in the budget right now.
Right.
Bob's anticipating additional room tax revenue coming in. To be consistent with how we do things, if additional room tax revenue comes in, we could say 46% of that could be utilized for this, because the other 54% would still be able to go into the general fund per our ordinance.
Okay. Let me just throw one out that thing out there. As far as the 12-16 budget, When with the recasted revenues, the general fund 54% factor is reflected in increasing a transfer to the general fund. So so that will happen if we hit that actual target.
Okay.
If we don't hit the target, then we'll only move as much as the 54% factor would be of whatever revenue that is. We wouldn't do the whole appropriation. But if you look at
we're on the same page.
But if, mm-hmm. but if you look at attachment B, I've shown a separate. See, the basic 54% transfer to the general fund, I stripped that out to show based upon the original budget projection, and then with my recasted revenues, I show separately the adjusted revenues on 54, which would be an additional $72,900 to the general fund.
So
the general fund, if we hit that target, then then the general fund is going to get that money, see.
And we'll still have available the $100,000 that you anticipate?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so
right.
You actually factored it in ahead of time.
Yeah. I guess the big thing for me is that we honor the original commitment for that money based upon the law, because my understanding was that $1 million had to be spent in a very narrow way. You couldn't add things to it. It had a narrow definition based on the historical data. As long as we're okay with that, I don't mind adjusting it from $100,000 to $45,000 or whatever.
So maybe. Let me get my 2 cents worth on. I've been trying here for a while.
Sorry, I didn't wave your arm enough.
You recognize me, nobody else did. I'm pretty certain here part of the fix is already laid out here in paragraph 2 in Bob's report, in that it speaks once again to the $50,000 for economic development, which we, unless I'm mistaken, nixed from the budget.
We put it, I went through the
and
records.
It was supposed to be removed. We requested that be removed, and apparently it wasn't.
I actually forwarded the records to Spencer and Bob on that. Yeah. Actually, we deferred a decision.
Yes.
We did not remove it.
Okay.
Basically,
the attitude at the time, the majority attitude was we didn't want it.
But we had it in there as a placeholder.
So right. That's a place to go.
But the question that I have is, that $50,000 that was put in there was going to be to help pay for that economic development position that was part of that.
Right. Yes.
Right. Which I don't think would have been in the definition for the original fund.
So my question is, are you saying that $50,000 that's currently in the general fund sitting there was money that could be used for tourism-related purposes?
Yeah.
Well, was that coming out of the 46% portion?
That would transfer with the 46% portion to the general fund.
Well, I'm not going to advise, but I think if you look at the statutes, unless maybe we'll need our legal counsel, economic development solely for that purpose is not tourism related. You have to have. So if we put that money aside, of $50,000 out of the 46%, I'd have to look. We'd have to check with our legal counsel on whether pure economic development falls within the parameters of tourism-related purposes. I don't think it does, which means that might have been.
I would say it would.
That's my whole point, David, is we could fix the fact that that probably wasn't an appropriate transfer. Plus, we could use this $50,000 to build back up to the $100,000 and follow through on what the attitude was. Admittedly, we kept it as a placeholder, but it was pretty clear that the attitude was we weren't intending during this fiscal year to use that $50,000 for economic development.
And now we might be finding out that the money that was being utilized as a placeholder might actually not be appropriate for that particular
use.
I mean, that's up to our legal counsel.
It's sad because that original million should have been set aside in a
lockbox.
Yeah, thank you. And not messed with, and not.
But it was
with the rest of the budget. We still have that. We have that. Whatever.
So I guess my point is, if we did officiate moving that money back to the 46% side, then we'd have that $50,000 plus the other $45,000. We'd get $95,000 just like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I think that would be the cleanest way to do it.
And there are certain categories of expense that will underspend. So the $100,000 I'm sure will be actually there. The $50,000 would ensure that it would
be. It's just too bad that money got intermingled.
It's too bad.
And dissipated.
Okay, this is how I suggest we fix, from a budget standpoint, the $100,000. We'd have to do it by a budget resolution to amend the budget,
right?
And take the $100,000 that, and depending on what we do with that $50,000, we can use that or the contingency factor, or a combination of both, is what we'd have to be using. And make a budget transfer to material services and line item $100,000, and I've done this in the fourth page of the report, starting at second, that we move that into a line item that we call City Undesignated Funded Grants. And actually appropriate the line item of $100,000.
Right.
And then at some future date, when you decide you want to use that $100,000, and each year we just carry it over into each next year's budget if it's not been
allocated
by the council.
Right.
And once the council does that, since it will already be budgeted as part of the material services appropriation, all we would need then is an internal budget transfer within the finance department on our accounting records to move it to a city-funded grant expense or some other expense to designate where we're going to spend it out and then zero out the undesignated category of the line item.
Would you also recommend, as part of that, taking that $50,000 that's currently in the general fund as a placeholder and moving that back into the room tax fund?
It sounds like to me that that's what we should do.
And I go back to history because you and Spencer were here, but during the budget process, the prior administration was strongly advocating for that position. And I'm wondering, because those safeguards were not in the room tax fund, did that provide the opportunity to transfer that $50,000 that should have stayed in the room tax fund into the general fund for a project that I think was being advocated very strongly by certain prior administration folks? And I think without those safeguards there, that allowed probably more flexibility to do those kind of things than we probably, want to see happen in the future.
Well, number one, I think that's exactly what happened.
Well, I'm just trying to be objective.
Yeah.
I don't want to start getting,
The other advantage of going this route is then if we do collect more revenue than anticipated, it gets back to what you were saying, David, that additional would be split the same 54-46. Rather than trying to pretend we're moving.
Well, the 54% could go into tourism related. You can take part of that 54% and use it for tourism related purposes.
We could.
You can't take the 46 and use it for
general fund.
It can go one way but not the other.
What we're projecting would kind of restart the clock on how it's supposed to be used.
Yeah. And to make sure we have the right amount on this $100,000, I don't think it was exactly $100,000, but I think Peggy, we should have in the records the budget from that last committee meeting when they allocated everything. Didn't they do a final report saying there was X amount of money on the table?
Well, I don't remember whether they made a final report, but I was at that meeting and they calculated $100,000 would be remaining.
So if we move the $50,000, that looks like it'd be safe to say that we have $95,853.
What we're actually doing is
close enough.
We're actually moving the $50,000 back to where it should have been originally.
Right.
Right.
We're not doing anything other than what should have happened last year.
Last year.
That's what we're doing.
Because the $50,000 is not part of the $100,000.
Wait, one at a time.
Is that fund, is that part of the room tax or part of the general fund? If you put that in the locked box.
Oh, no, we just move it. If you go to schedule B under expenditures where it shows material and services and then total material services, the room tax is appropriate because it's a single entity fund. It's appropriated by categories of expense, so that means it would be appropriated by material services, capital outlay, transfers, and contingencies. So what I'm suggesting that we do a budget resolution amendment to move from a contingency and or transfers, $100,000, to a line item within material services to safekeep that $100,000.
Okay.
For the future.
Yeah, because I think the big issue is if the intent of the council is to use that full $1 million for grants, then we can fix it. And if that's the intent of this group, we'll bring a recommendation back at a future meeting to fix it according to...
And I can't speak for prior councils, but when that money was put aside, it was kept aside for further use along the lines of what we adopted as a formal policy several years ago. So for many, many years, because it was money that was going to be utilized for a former event center project, prior councils and the the council before this one, which several of us were on, actually felt, you know, it needed to stay for that purpose because that's the purpose for which it was collected. So that was basically just following a history of, you know, just prior councils and what their intent was as well.
Right. So if that's still the overall intent,
yes, it has been.
So we'll bring a recommendation at a future meeting to make it so.
Can I ask you a quick question? A lot of us, you know, there was a lot of really, you know, during the last budget process, we were given a lot of documentation, and you know, there was a lot of eyes on that document. Many of us were paying close attention, and usually,
well, we were too.
You were on it. No, the council.
I'm just saying. No.
I was pointing to you.
You're
as well,
Laura.
I was pointing to you, actually. I'm not leaving you out, Laura. But I was looking at Ralph because I think, you know, Ralph, you know, nothing against, you know, Ralph was, anyways.
It
was
Ralph.
Okay.
Ralph.
Yeah. Okay. And Ralph was paying close attention. The 54-46 split usually showed up in documentation showing this is how much revenue we collected from room tax. 54% is going for this, 46 for this. And now it looks like more was being used for room tax purposes than the 46 than should have been. And I'm wondering, did that show up in any documentation? Because right now you caught something, Bob, that many of us weren't aware of until you just brought it to our attention. And if it had been in the documentation or in the budget process, I think some of us would have caught it because this economic development position was a very public discussion.
Right.
And I can't imagine with all of us looking at this document that, you know, it wouldn't have been noticed that maybe we're utilizing this money out of room tax that shouldn't be utilized. I'm wondering, was that buried somewhere in the budget that we just never saw, or was it visible and we just missed it?
Or it was just not explained properly.
Well, part of the problem is the use of transfers to move money around.
Exactly.
And and what was done budget process is that the transfer was made on the basis of $1,292,000. And so...
And that was the percentage of the room tax that could be transferred to general fund,
and so,
based on the budget numbers.
Yeah, $1,292,000 was transferred from the room tax to the general fund. Okay, so I got an internal dispute in finance saying, okay, when I run these numbers, that $1,292,000 calculates out to 56%. The formula is 54-46. What's going on here?
That's where it comes.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So that's how you can lose what's happening here if someone isn't explaining to you what that, or you figure out what the formula is and they can computation itself.
It was buried.
So, actual 54% is $1,242,000, and that's why. On that book schedule D, separated it out so you could actually see, and then the 46 portion that was transferred to the general fund was that $50,000 figure.
But we were led to believe it was a different number during the budget process.
For whatever reason, we reached
a different conclusion based on what we had in front of us.
So this is recollection only. You won't find this in the documentation. The reason I remember it so clearly is because I was also the one campaigning for returning the support for the bus.
I remember that
that inextricable link made that, well, if we're not funding the economic development position, that $50,000 could go towards the bus instead.
But then the discussion
came up as to whether it was appropriate to be using the non-general fund side of the room tax for the bus, and we specifically added the amendment to my motion saying that for this upcoming year we're going to continue to use it for the bus, but we will look at other ways to fund that. That was a specific recommendation that got added onto mine.
That was not the 50, that was a different number.
But what the instruction we gave to Jim and the finance manager at the time was to say,
Let's not get into how
you do the $50,000. We're thinking you have it already there because we're not going to fund the economic development, but go find the money that's necessary for the bus. Then we go forward to the next budget meeting, and I get a yes that the bus is funded, and yet the $50,000 is still there for the economic development. And to be honest, I couldn't tell you where that $50,000 came from to go back towards the bus.
Okay. I saw scheduled documentation on the bus, $90,000,
right,
and that was taken out of cuts in different general fund departments.
Right. So right. And the overall sort of discussion
and
was.
And then the $50,000 for the economic development was left intact.
Right.
Yeah. And that That's was something what David Marshall said. You can't tell us where to find the money.
Right.
That's right. I'm going to invoke my Terry Thompson right here.
Okay.
And with the quarter after one, we meet again at 5:30.
5:30?
Yes.
Really? Before we get, thank you very much.
Thank you for all this. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. You went down all the rabbit holes.
You can thank your city manager for saying we need a written report.
Yeah.
Based on the conversation, so I was a little confused.
I mumbled and grumbled about it.
Sandy?
What?
Especially since I won't be there tonight, and I'm not saying whether there'll be any general public comment on the back. It's not on the agenda tonight, but I did.
Oh, yes, I had that in my announcement.
I did attend the meeting on Saturday. I want you to know that they have a very draft report to the council, something to work on. I reviewed that Saturday, and these guys are, from what I saw, really cooking along with what we wanted to see.
I have a folder for you from what I had.
Okay. So I just wanted you to know that they're really working hard and working towards basically answering all the sorts of things that the council.
When's that report?
Yes.
March 3rd. Yeah, just one thing, too. We talked at the staff meeting today. We wouldn't mind being incorporated a little bit into this process of potential fixes, so that we can provide some reaction to that as well. So,
maybe
we can set up a meeting.
Very good idea.
If we can set up a meeting with the two.
Well, I have to bow out because I'm now council president, and she has to recuse herself during any VAC.
Okay.
Thing, so I can't.
So you're the
alternative.
So yeah, just let me know.
But yeah, we'll set up a time just to go through that if it feels appropriate to do that.
Sure.
Do that.
She didn't want to take on that and be council president because she'll have to chair the meetings when that's coming up.
Actually, before I leave, maybe I can check in.
Yeah,
and
we'll get
a map
set up.
Okay. Mark, here's the file.
Okay.
Okay. With that, are we through?
Yes.
See you at 5:30.
Mark. Don't leave home with that.
Okay.
Thanks for pointing out 5:30.
Yeah.